Oh, good morning.
It's 9 miles and 16 minutes, 31 seconds.
16:31 on the first mile. I'm making up for yesterday. Yesterday was a serious oops day. Oh, by the way, it's 11:03, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2013. It's cold, like 40 degrees, very raw. It's a little bit of blue sky off to the west, but mostly it's overcast. So yeah, yesterday was a serious oops day. To begin with, I slept in, and then I had to get the kid ready to go because they had a matinee in the afternoon. So I had to get her over to school, then I had to go back and pick her up, and I had to get everybody here fed and her fed, and after some flailing about with some difficult stuff. I went to the play again last night, the closing night, closing show. Oh, what a gorgeous show. They did such a good job. Having a live orchestra made such a difference. Having them get a couple of performances under their belt, opening night jitters was probably. It was a great show, but it still wasn't as good as it was last night. And apparently, Friday night's show was best altogether. Last night they were tired after doing a matinee, but they had plenty of oomph left to really push it. And I thought it went very, very well. Even anticipating the story, there were pieces of it that I think they missed on the first night because there were lines delivered that I don't remember being delivered. So, yeah. It was a very good night. It was a very, very good play. The upshot was that I completely missed even posting that I wasn't going to put a post up yesterday. I was going to put a file in yesterday. I just completely blew it off. I was sitting at the play thinking, you know, I sat down 5 times today to write that post to tell them I wasn't going to be rocking today. And I never did it. I didn't do it when I got home. And of course, when I got up this morning, it was like, oh, well, I'll go for my walk. Now it's 11 o'clock. I'm just getting out for my walk. It's ridiculous. So yesterday's big fracas, yesterday's big besides the timing issues, was that we had a town full of smoke yesterday. There were two fires. I don't know if they're under control yet or not, but at least they're not filling the town with smoke anymore. But the whole place was hazy with forest fire smoke. So very early forest fire. Usually this time of year we still are dealing with snow. The snow wasn't enough to keep the forest from burning. I ain't really sure. There were two of them. And so they're investigating still, I suspect, to find out what the cause was. It was probably somebody careless with a cigarette or something. But there were evacuations up in the high country. There was smoke all over the Front Range. It wasn't a pretty, day here yesterday. So it was probably just as well that I didn't get out to walk and fill my lungs full of that smoke. I still smelled a little bit. Oh, yeah. Well, it's corned beef and cabbage day, so we'll be smelling lots of things later. Boiled cabbage among them. I do love corned beef and cabbage. I do. It's not something that I should eat as often as I do. Well, that's not true, because I haven't had it. I used to have my corned beef and cabbage like once a month. And I have a 12-quart stock pot, stainless steel, and set the corned beef on to simmer early in the day. And then add vegetables throughout the course of the day, with cabbage to steam on the top at the end. And at the end we get potatoes and carrots and rutabagas and onions. Oh, it's delicious. And then there's the corned beef, which is wonderfully tender and wickedly salty. But I had to kind of cut that out because that's too much fat, that's too much salt. The vegetables were good, but that's still too much fat, too much salt. But for a special occasion, for today, the day when everybody's Irish, St. Paddy's Day was an interesting day for me growing up, because we weren't noticeably Irish. We were actually Lowell and Wallace. You can probably guess that Irish is not strongly featured in our history with the English and the Scots. But this wearing of the green thing never really caught on. I could never remember to find something green, because I had very little that was green. Green was not my color. Although I like green. I like green a lot now, particularly the dark forest greens. But growing up, I didn't have a lot of green, and generally I would do something stupid like wear the one green shirt I had the day before St. Patrick's Day, not realizing that the next day was St. Patrick's Day, because even when I was young, I really was totally unconscious about what day it might be. If not for this podcast, I probably would still be largely unconscious about what day it might be. My birthday and Christmas was about the limit. So anyway, my mother was a knitter. She loved to knit. She knitted everything. She knit us all sweaters. She knitted us all mittens, hats. She was a knitter. One of those lovely, homely skills that kind of fallen by the wayside. I should take up crocheting again, like I need another hobby. But anyway, she was a knitter. And so one early fall, she said, "Well, I'm going to make you a sweater. Did you have any idea what you want?" And I did. And I said, "I want an orange sweater, cable knit, fisherman crew neck, cable knit sweater, orange." And she said, "Orange?" I said, "Yeah, orange." Now, to this day, I do not know why orange. I really don't. I don't have any idea why I picked orange. But she knit me the sweater, and it was gorgeous. It was warm. It was sumptuous. It was delightful, and I wore it regularly. Perhaps too regularly, but I wore it a lot. In those days, I was walking to school. It was 5 miles, and I would, rather than take the bus for an hour, I would walk for an hour, and I would arrive just about the same time the bus did, but I would not have the jostling and the pain in the butt of riding a bus, stopping, going, stopping, going, stopping, going, stopping, going, all over town. I just walked to school. It probably did me a world of good. It certainly gave me a lot of exercise, because I would walk to school. I would walk home. Uncle Paul. Well, St. Patrick's Day rolled around. And of course, being a good, not really, Protestant, I wore my orange sweater. Because while everybody knows you're supposed to wear green, green is actually associated with the Irish Republic, if I remember. And you know, I don't remember what the significance is, but I was an orangeman. I wore orange on St. Patrick's Day just to be contrary. And of course, nobody in our little town in Maine had any idea what the orange signified. They just thought, didn't you know it was St. Patrick's Day? I said, yeah, it's where I wore my orange sweater. Well, you're supposed to wear green. And I had some comment, and I don't remember what it was now. So anyway, I always wore that orange sweater on St. Patrick's Day because I want to be an orangeman, not one of the greens. And I think, given my English and Scots heritage, that was probably appropriate. It was probably entirely appropriate. Although I have to say that I'm not sure I agree with the treatment the Irish have gotten over the years, but for that matter, I'm not sure I agree with the treatment the Scots have got over the years. It's the nature of being a Commonwealth, I suppose. I suppose there are a lot of people who don't really understand why the North and South are still fighting. And granted, it's not as bad as it used to be. It's not as bad, for example, as when I was a kid. I don't think the Dukes of Hazzard helped the cause, but I don't think it was as bad then, now, as it was then. Ah, well. Oh, it's cold and raw enough out that my nose is running. I've already blown it twice. I may have to do it again. But I'm really hungry. I missed breakfast. I missed my toast and peanut butter for breakfast. Now I'm going to have to take time and make lunch. I don't know what I'm going to make. I might have my toast and peanut butter for lunch, because I'm going to have a big dinner. Another couple hours, it'll be time to put the corned beef in to simmer, along with a couple of onions. And a half minute first mile. It was pretty good. I was pumping right along. I was walking fast enough that my legs warmed up. The muscles in my legs felt it because I was really pushing. Had some good songs. Kept me moving along smartly. So I keep going back to the Kigadon in my mind. And my daughter said she thought it was a very complex show and that she wasn't sure people in the audience would follow it, would get it, because there were so many pieces to it. There was the love story between the Burmese couple, Tup Tim and Low Moon or whatever his name was. There was the political story of Siam moving to take its place or trying to establish a place in the modern world. an argument that one might hold has yet to be fully resolved. Thailand is still under a monarchy, still filled with secret police. And the idea that the secret police should be part of the show, even though they weren't shown on stage, it's like, well, yes, I had my secret police listen while they poured the coffee. And Anna appeared shocked that he would spy on his guests. And his offhand remark was, well, how else would you find out the truth? And so I think there's an interesting historical footnote, and this piece was written as part of a novel, and I don't know how much of the story comes from Anna and the King of Siam, the novel, as from the Rodgers and Hammerstein play. But the play was written in the 50s, the early 50s, because I think it was first produced the year I was born, so it's a 60-year-old play. It did not age well, I'll say that. A lot of the feminist dialectic that was in it seemed trite, if not still quite valid. The flower and the bee number that the king does about how women are flowers and men are bees and have to collect as much pollen as they can. And what that analogy seems to overlook is that a whole bunch of different bees visit every flower. So just as every bee may visit a variety of flowers, the flower sits there and gives up pollen to a very wide collection of bees. And that was sort of lost, was sort of glossed over, sort of ignored, which I found to be rather an interesting idea, given the views of men in the 50s. It's like, yes, well, of course. Now, they were setting up the king as being a bigamist. Love your wives and respect your concubines.
18 minutes,
21
seconds per mile.
So an interesting setup at any rate. So 18 and a half minutes per second mile, yeah, I slowed down a lot. It was needful if I was going to talk and walk at the same time. And without the driving beat of the music, it's hard for me to maintain that pace. But having a report of my 2 miles should, as always, clue me in that I'm at the back gate. And that's where I say, tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.